Welcome back, everyone, to Stethoscope, a podcast from the Northern Colorado Medical Society, bringing new scope on your community of physicians, healthcare topics, NCMS leadership, and more. You know me, I'm Paige, the executive director of the society, and of course, the lucky host of this great podcast. The mission of NCMS is to advocate on behalf of our physician members to encourage a strong and healthy medical profession. A part of encouraging that strong and healthy medical profession is providing outlets for our physician members to get to know their colleagues and allow them to think outside of the realm of the exam room. I'm so thrilled to introduce today's guest, one of our newest board members, Dr. Christy Reimer, who practices internal medicine with UC Health and is the assistant dean of the CU School of Medicine at CSU. Dr. Reimer, welcome.
Thanks, Paige. I'm so happy you invited me.
It's so good to have you.
Yeah, as you know, I love to talk about the medical school. It's what I've really been thinking about a lot over the past couple of years. And now that we have students here, it's really fun to talk about how they're impacting the medical community.
Yeah, we're so excited to dive in today. And I want to, well, first congratulate you on your board position with NCMS officially. And this is your second time around, correct, on the NCMS board?
Right. So I'm a new board member with an experience of being a board member in the past. I don't remember how many years. Probably 5 to 10-ish years.
Yes.
Great experience. Important to be involved, I think, in organized medicine at this time when patients need us to represent their needs with our physician voices.
Exactly. Well, we're so excited to have you back. And before we dive into what you're here to really talk about today, I want to make sure that we learn just a bit about you first for those members that may not know you very well. So in the past, I've been asking our guests like how they found their passion for medicine, and I'm trying to mix it up. So you're going to be one of those people I mix it up with today. Okay. So instead of how you found your passion, what is your favorite thing about medicine?
I am going to put this answer in the context of medical education, because that's what I'm doing now. My background is that before I was in Colorado, I was on faculty at the University of Kansas and then the University of Iowa, and was mostly involved in graduate medical education, internal medicine. And then I moved here to the community of Fort Collins about 12 years ago. And when I've been here, I have actually missed having the environment where learners are always asking questions and providing value and some entertainment to the clinical space. So when I heard about the medical school opening here in Fort Collins, I was thrilled about the opportunity to get involved in medical education again. And so my favorite thing about that is really what I just mentioned, and that is how much I enjoy seeing the students, in this case, enjoying and learning from patients, and how I have watched just over the past year, my patients appreciate having a medical student involved in their care. And I am going to love to watch the trajectory of these students as they launch into hopefully very successful careers in specialties of their choice.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so interesting to think about where all these students are going to be in the next 10 years and the impacts that they're going to be making. And I'm excited to talk a bit more about that with you. But talk to me a little bit about your passion for working with students, for teaching. And did you, when you originally realized that you wanted to go to medical school and become a physician, did you realize that you really wanted to also be a part of the medical student education?
Nope, I had no idea. So I was not one of those people who always wanted to be a doctor. I was a math major for most of my college career. So I didn't finish my math major. I ended up with a minor because by the time I was a senior in college, I realized that I wanted to have a career where I could interact with people. And so I actually switched my major to chemistry and made a quick transition. Took the MCAT my senior year, decided that I wanted to go to medical school so I could combine my love of analytical thinking with also an opportunity to interact with people. So I actually think when I went to medical school, I don't think I even knew that medical school involved, 4 years of medical school and then a certain number of years of residency. I think I just knew that that it looked like a career pathway that was interesting and would be a good match for me. So no, I had no idea. During my residency, though, I loved working with medical students, and I was a chief resident. For all of the physicians who've done residency, they know that part of the job of the chief resident is in educating the medical students. And I loved that part of my chief resident job, and then was offered a faculty position to stay on as faculty when I was at Kansas. And I grew in that position. I did a fellowship during that time at Michigan State, which is a program that allowed me to go to Michigan State for a few weeks at a time, come back to KU and do some projects there, you know, go back and integrate with a cohort of other educators who are focused on primary care medical education. And so really began to understand the value of being a medical educator during that time.
Absolutely. And is it something today that you look back on, and now that you have this position as assistant dean, is it something that totally just fills up your cup of passion and you're just thrilled that you ended up taking this path?
It does. I missed it for a while. When I love living in Fort Collins. I found my clinical home here. I love the partners in my practice, and we've transitioned a lot over the 12 years I've been here, but I always had a soft spot in my heart for students or learners in the medical space, and just wasn't able to dive fully into that work until this opportunity came up. So it does feel like it's filling my cup, although admittedly the cup has had some unexpected, shall we say, spills over the past year as we, you know, launched this campus during a pandemic in a really strange and difficult year for everyone in medicine.
Definitely. I can't imagine some of the cup spills that you felt through the pandemic. I actually have some follow-up questions that'll come up later specifically about that and having to work through that. But so I would love to dive in now just really to the meat of what we're going for and the CSU, the CU School of Medicine at CSU. So what makes it different? Tell us a little bit about that.
So this campus is very unique in lots of ways. So to begin with, this collaboration between CU and CSU had been discussed for many years before there was, you know, final agreement about all the details between these two very large institutions that have been able to effectively now collaborate together on a really new project. So there's no relationship like this anywhere else between CU and CSU. So that in itself makes it a huge project and very unique. In addition, CU School of Medicine has a branch campus in Colorado Springs, but that branch that has been ongoing for 5 to 10 years and has been a successful clinical site, but is a clinical campus only. So students have done their basic science training on the main campus at Anschutz, and then they go to Colorado Springs for their clinical years. So this actually is the first four-year branch campus for CU School of Medicine. And we're able to do that here because of the collaboration with CSU and the strong basic science powerhouse that really resides within CVU and specifically within the College of Veterinary Medicine and Biomedical Sciences. And so that collaboration then allows us to overlay the curriculum, which will be the same as on the main campus, as on the Anschutz campus, but with unique opportunities in our medical community, and actually community as a whole, and with CSU. The location of this branch campus here and at CSU allows the students to have opportunities in research that span from bench research in the basic sciences to translational research at the TMI that's aligned with the vet school. We hope to have some, you know, collaborative efforts with the other professional students on campus here, and specifically the vet students, and then even clinical research in the community that's being done by physicians here. So the research experience here is pretty unique. We have built some of the extras or elective and service learning opportunities around this One Health concept, which is the idea that human health is really dependent on the health of the environment and animals and plants. And that has allowed us to offer some pretty unique service learning opportunities in the community that the students are participating in. And then we think it'll probably lead to some One Health research-oriented projects and other collaborative projects.
Yeah, it's such a... I went to CSU, so I'm a huge Ram fan. So when this came about, I was super excited, and I thought a lot about, you know, the vet school already being in place and how that was going to be already a great collaboration. So it's great to hear that that's the case. And I know that third year students are currently at this campus. So tell us a little bit about what they experienced this year as far as curriculum. And of course, I mean, I know the pandemic probably made the cups spill a little bit on that. So yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
So the core clinical curriculum, which is what these third year students are doing here this year, is being taught in a longitudinal integrated clerkship format. So different than when I and most of our members went to medical school, when we did these core clinical experiences in block format. So we did, for example, you know, 8 weeks of surgery and 8 weeks of medicine and 6 weeks of peds, et cetera. These students are doing all of those core clinical specialties across their entire third year. So on an average week, a student will spend a half a day a week in an internal medicine clinic, a half a day a week in family medicine, peds, OBGYN, surgery, and psychiatry. So across the course of the year, then it allows them to develop longitudinal relationships with their preceptors so that the preceptors can watch them grow in their medical knowledge and practice. And then they also develop a small cohort of patients. So they each are following a group of 20 to 25 patients through their course of health and disease over the course of the year. So for example, if a student in my clinic, you know, sees a patient with a new breast mass, the student would have the opportunity to follow that patient then, you know, to imaging and look at, you know, their mammogram or ultrasound with the radiologist. They could participate in the biopsy. They could look at the path with the pathologist. They could accompany the patient to the surgeon's office, even go to the OR.
Wow.
You know, do post-op follow-up, see them with the medical oncologist and the radiation oncologist, and really learn about the journey that a patient takes during health and illness. And then interspersed on top of that longitudinal format, they also have about 10 emergency medicine shifts. They spend 4 weeks on an inpatient hospitalist internal medicine immersion experience. They spend 2 weeks on an inpatient surgery immersion, and then 3 weeks on an inpatient OBGYN and pediatric immersion experience with the family medicine residents in Fort Collins. So it looks different than what we used to do, but this is how the core clinical year will be laid out in the new CU School of Medicine curriculum.
That's amazing. I never went to medical school, so I guess I can't compare, but that just seems like an incredible educational opportunity for these students, and having the ability to follow specific patients is incredible. So kudos to everyone that's working hard to make sure that this happens. And I know that first year medical students will begin this coming fall. So tell me a little bit about what their first year will look like at this new campus.
So their first year will look different also than what most of us remember doing in our first year of medical school. The entire CU School of Medicine is rolling out a new curriculum called the TREC curriculum. And that first year is called the Plains year. So within that Plains year, teaching is system-based. So again, different than what we learned in blocks. You know, I had, I think, 3 months of gross anatomy to begin my first year medical school semester. But so these students will learn, for example, a three-week block of pulmonary and cardiovascular units. So within that unit, they will learn their gross anatomy, their histology, physiology, pathology, pharmacology, microbiology. All the things fall in that unit. Similarly, within that unit, they will have some clinical skill sessions with standardized patients where they might learn how to listen to the heart and lungs. they'll spend some time in a preceptor's clinic where they practice, perhaps listening to heart and lungs, or maybe gathering a history about cardiac and pulmonary symptoms. The week will begin with a case, and so they'll be able to immediately apply those basic science concepts to, at least conceptually, to patient care. And then they'll also have health and society components within that. So that health and society piece includes things like population health, patient advocacy, evidence-based medicine, sort of those non-clinical pieces that are important for physicians to learn. So that first year will look similarly different.
Yeah, no, very cool. Yeah, and when we think about medical students today, and you've drawn some really great examples of how it's definitely different now, what do you think is one of the hardest things that they face in this day and age? And without COVID, let's say that we are in a non-COVID world, what do you think is a hard thing that medical students face today that maybe wasn't happening 10, 15 years ago?
I think in particular, the impact that we have seen over this past year of COVID on healthcare inequities is understood and very important to these medical students. Similarly, the impact of racism that has been amplified over the past year, I think, weighs heavy on the experiences that these students are seeing, you know, through a new lens. I'm wholeheartedly impressed with their dedication to social justice and more equitable healthcare outcomes and advocacy. But it's hard for all of us to see, and I think it's really hard. That's a really hard realization for these students also.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one, it's a very humbling and amazing point to think about what they're having to go through and understand and learn. And then to think about in 15 years, what that kind of impact maybe will have on our world in a positive way because of what these medical students are having to face and how healthcare may change because of it. And, you know, yeah, you mentioned this, and I would love to learn a little bit more. How are those lessons, and COVID in particular, providing positive lessons to medical students that really, in the end, are going to make healthcare better?
I don't think we know the answer to that.
Yeah.
What we do know is that the experiences that they've had this year are different than experiences that medical students have ever had. We frequently wonder how this is going to frame their entire medical career. So when, you know, their first exposure to the clinical environment was one, you know, that began with panic. So they arrived here in June. They were supposed to start in May, and they were delayed by a month, and they, you know, arrived here in June. And if we can, you know, reflect back on what healthcare looked like in June, it was still a little bit panicked. We still didn't know how to put things together, you know, how to take care of patients safely. I shouldn't say that. By June, we had learned, but the pandemic still felt new, and everybody's practice patterns were changing. Mm-hmm. And so the students sort of saw how rapidly the medical community had to respond to this emergency. And we have to think that there were lessons learned from that, even though I think we don't really know exactly how that will play out yet. I think that's a good question that I personally don't know the answer to yet. I can only imagine that it will impact their ability to be resilient and hopefully impact change quicker as we move forward. You know, in general, medical practice is slow to change. And we saw a shift in that with the pandemic, the need to react quickly. And hopefully that will impact how they feel like they can make change more quickly in their careers. That's a good question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I figured that the answer would definitely not be known yet. And I'm interested, you know, specifically in medicine to understand, like, in 10 years, how we can understand what that actually did for their education and how it had the foundational building blocks to make medicine better. I can only hope that what we're going through right now is making medicine better. And I'm maybe too much of an optimist sometimes, but I refuse to just think that this is not happening for any reason. There has to be some positivity that comes from it. So I'm hoping that that will be one of them. And, you know, on the other side of being an educator, what was the toughest challenge you had to overcome as an educator with COVID and making sure that these students felt supported?
That's a good question too. I actually relied on Amy Ruppert, so Dr. Ruppert, who is the LIC director, so a surgeon in the middle, a trauma surgeon in the middle of clinical care during the pandemic, and also really in charge of these students in the clinical space this year. And so her challenges were much greater than mine, and I mostly tried to serve as a support to her, but she was in the weeds of figuring out the details. So, you know, you may remember when they came in June, there wasn't enough PPE. So that was a time when this class of third year students who's ready to do things and participate in care and, you know, go to the OR and learn how to scrub in, they weren't able to. We didn't have enough gowns. That was the first problem, surgical gowns. So for a few weeks, they couldn't participate in the care of patients who were in isolation. So patients who were diagnosed with COVID or had pending diagnostic tests. They also weren't able to go to the OR. They weren't able to go to deliveries. They weren't able to do all these things that they were hoping they could do. So pretty quickly, we were allocated a limited number of gowns for students to participate in cases. And so we went through this period of time where she was, the students were choosing which cases they may want to be able to participate in. And she was carefully allocating gowns, and you know, they were sharing face masks back and forth, and had it required a lot of organization, which she handled beautifully. And the students were able to have some experiences. And now we're at a place where we do have enough PPE. The medical students are acknowledged to be part of the healthcare team for patients, which is true and important. And now they're able to spread their wings a little bit and go to the cases they want to go to, you know, go to a delivery with one of their panel patients if that's where they should be, and are experiencing, I think, the full realm of clinical care. But it's been a journey for them and for Amy, who's really done most of the organizational work.
I love that you say spread your wings. That gave me a little bit of goosebumps thinking about when they finally were able to start to experience what they should have been. And probably how grateful they were. And maybe that's another part of this that will, they're going to be so passionate about medicine in a totally different way than students have ever been. So yeah, I just had to say that one gave me goosebumps. I love it. And as we kind of wrap up, you know, what is one thing that our physician members need to know, how we as an organization, our physician members, can best support these students now and into the future, and how we can overall just support the entire CU School of Medicine at CSU?
The involvement of physician faculty in this community so far has been amazing. We have now about 250 volunteer clinical faculty just in Northern Colorado. And our initial scope was somewhat limited. So we had these, you know, 12 students with whom we were starting, and we set them up to work in, you know, just small groups of 12. And I think that the med school and the number of experiences that these students will be having will just grow over the next few years. I think particularly since we launched during a pandemic, we really haven't had the opportunity to explore all of the fantastic clinical opportunities in this community. So I just hope that our physicians continue to see the value in working with these students and teaching them what they know. This medical community is very, you know, practices very high quality clinical care. There's a lot to learn here, a lot of really smart, kind physicians with whom the students would love to interact. So we'd be happy to talk to anybody at any time, particularly as we grow, what opportunities may be available to work with the students, but we think they'll just be continued to be more and more And then eventually, it's likely that these students fall in love with being here, and that some of them come back and practice medicine in the community. So ultimately, as a medical society and as a medical community, I think we should really hope to support these students as they go into residency training, and expect them, some of them, to come back as future peers, and support them as they get their careers off the ground too.
I love it. Supporting them as future peers. That's exactly the right mindset. And I know, and you know, that NCMS is so excited to support in any way we can, and to have you back on our board to specifically make sure that we're supporting in the correct ways. So it'll be cool to see where we're at in the next couple years and how it's grown and how we partner and work together. But Dr. Reimer, thank you. Any final words that you want to leave with us today?
Nope.
Perfect.
I think we're good. I don't have any other words. Unless there's anything else you want to talk about. I don't think there is. Is there?
No, I think you gave us beautiful information about what I know everyone has been eager to learn more about. So I can't thank you enough for taking your time today to tell us about it, and for all you do for both the community and NCMS. And it's a pleasure to always speak with you.
Awesome. When our calendars match up, but I'm on it now.
Right.
Yeah, now I know to put it on my calendar.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. And thank you all for listening in on Stethoscope. And we will see you soon.